Welcome to this podcast from the Commonwealth Club of California, a nonprofit, nonpartisan forum open to the public. I'm Gloria Duffy, President and CEO of the club. To learn more about events or membership, join us online at commonwealthclub.org.
Hello and welcome to the Commonwealth Club of California. My name is Kevin O'Malley. I'm chairman of the Business and Leadership Forum here at the club and your host for tonight. Our program tonight is part two in the self-publishing series. Tonight is the nuts and bolts of making books. We have a great panel and our moderator will introduce the panel. I'm going to introduce our moderator, who is Paula Hendricks. Paula is founder and book designer of Cinnabar Bridge Communications, author of September in Corrales, and co-author of the Tire Horse book. And Paula and I have put this series together. Paula's done a great job. She's done most of the work and done a really great job. So please welcome her now.
Thank you very much. Well, you're all here, so you all know that publishing is certainly in a time of both explosion and change. This is true in terms of technology, in terms of being able to do it ourselves, in terms of democratization of the whole process. It's exciting, but it's also risky. There's a lot of fear, and there's just a lot of things happening every day, which means the world is changing day by day. So nothing is set in stone, but many things remain the same. Books matter. The communications of ideas matter. So this series is how you can participate, and if you want, do it yourself. Tonight, we're going to discuss the nuts and bolts of how we turn your content into a product, something you can sell, whether that's a book, an ebook, or an app. Each of our panelists is going to speak for about 5 minutes on a particular aspect of this productization and this turning a content into a book. And we've set aside, as Kevin said, about 15, 20 minutes or so at the end for questions from you, because there's no way we can cover every aspect of this topic in an hour. We're going to start with Joel Friedlander. Joel is the owner of Marin Bookworks. He's a book designer, and he's a blogger at thebookdesigner.com. And Joel, I think you're going to talk to us about, at least start off talking to us about the printed book. Is that right?
Yes. Well.
And welcome.
Thank you. Ready? Well, you know, books are objects that we're all familiar with. And when people decide they want to publish their own book, which has become incredibly easier than it has ever been now, they're sometimes surprised that the process is kind of complicated because we've become so used to books and having books around from the time we were infants, really, and being read to, and we kind of started to take books for granted. They seem fairly simple. It's just words on a page. I've had clients actually say to me, well, what does a book designer do? You just put the page numbers on, isn't that right? And, you know, that took a while to respond to. But when a person decides, a writer decides to publish a book, they soon discover there are many, many, many hundreds of little tiny decisions that have to be made. There are legal issues. There are financial issues. And as a book designer and as a book producer, which is how I think of myself, I help people through that process. In other words, setting up a publishing company, because books are published by somebody. And when you become a self-publisher, you are, in effect, going into business. Some people are unprepared for that or unwilling to be business people. And to be a self-publisher is to be a small business person. There are copyright issues to deal with. There are, you know, setting up your business. There is the question of how will you produce your book. We have some great technologies for book printing now. Print-on-demand digital printing has made it much easier to get into print for very little or almost no money at all. On the other end, there are people who are producing books that are easily the equivalent of any book coming from any big publisher like Knopf or Random House or anybody, And some of those books actually cost quite a bit of money. So we have a range of people getting into self-publishing, anywhere from spending nothing. And you can actually do that today. You could publish a book. If you had a finished manuscript, I could tell you how to publish a book for nothing. All you would have to do is buy the book that you had produced at the end. And we have other people spending $20,000, $30,000 to $50,000 to see their book in print, depending on the kind of book it is. So it's a very large field. There's a lot of complexity to get to that simple product at the end. And that's what a book designer or a book producer or a book shepherd does for someone who has a manuscript and is interested to moving to the next stage and actually getting their book in print. Now, I find this, helping people publish their own books, to be incredibly exciting. I find it so empowering. I love to put that power into the hands of people who maybe have had this book in their drawer for years and never thought that it would ever see the light of day. And then through a pretty simple process, they can get to a point in a couple of months maybe with a little editing and a little design where they actually have their book. They can put it on Amazon. They can go out and try and sell it. They could just give it away if that's what they want to do. And that's where we are in publishing today, that we have the ability to do that. And I find that very exciting. And I hope some people here will become self-publishers maybe this year.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Joel. V Vail, who is the publisher of RE Search Publications and the founder of Search and Destroy, is going to talk to us about things like visual language and perhaps readability. And V, you want to tell us a little bit about those topics?
Well, visual language is...
And speak into the microphone.
Sorry.
Visual
language is kind of a new term for me in the last 10 or so years. But I think before I knew the word, when I first started publishing in 1977, I already had the concept for my first magazine called Search and Destroy, which was inspired by the very beginning of punk rock, which we won't go into that. But it was a time of revolution culturally, and the rules were open to be broken. And so we innovated a lot. And actually, we're getting attention now from Italian design magazines and all over the world for some of the design innovations in Search and Destroy, which for us, we didn't consider them as design innovations. We were just having fun. And we wanted to be a little shocking, and we wanted to wake you up, and we didn't want to look like normal layouts in a magazine or book. And we literally ripped and torn signifies the design aesthetic. We'd steal headlines and typography, even images, and make collages and striking headlines, and because we had no money. That's another good reason for innovation, is if you have no money. and you do want to do something exciting and something that hasn't been done before. And I used a large format page because I ripped off myself, Andy Warhol, for design. And my funding came initially from Lawrence Ferlinghetti and Allen Ginsberg, who you may have heard of, and because I worked at City Lights Bookstore. And they knew what punk rock was before most people, and they thought, yes, you should do something on this. It's like doing a magazine on the hippies, say, in like 1966, before anyone had heard of them. You know, you want to do things early, before they're all played out and jaded. And so my format was I had to, we didn't have any resources or time or money. And we also wanted maximum autonomy for each person who helped. And so I would generally give a pile of graphics and text in little Xerox strips. And then whoever wanted to, we'd break the magazine up by pages. And each person they'd get a whole page that they had almost 100% control over. And then we would, but I could, of course, overrule or suggest or whatever. But it was, the idea was to allow each person maximum freedom, you know, in what they were doing, because that's more fun. And yet, you know, kind of keep the entire magazine kind of congruent. And so after that, after my version of punk rock ended in 79, some people call it first wave, I took a little time to assess what had gone wrong. Mainly, no one had ever paid me. And I realized, dude, you work at City Lights Books. If you can just get a teeny bit more money together and make a book, they'll distribute you. And even more importantly, they'll do the job I hated, which is collecting. Collecting money is very hard. Take my word for it. And so I started doing books. But, you know, the biggest format I could think of continuing this visual language metaphor was 8.5 by 11 size books. And so, you know, you don't have as much freedom as you do in an 11 by 17 page size. We had these huge centerfolds we made that people put up on their walls. But still, you can do design elements. Like, this is a book called Pranks. And so I conceived the idea of op art borders, because I considered all op art to be a prank in the eye. You know, that's sort of thematically resonant. And because I'm not really a writer, but I do interviews. I transcribe them, and people who are in the book provide graphics. And so, you know, you start out small, and, you know, after a year or so, you've got a whole book, chapter by chapter. And I kind of made them better. I included always an index, a section of quotes in the back. And the quotes were, if there's any something conceptual that I wanted in the book that hadn't been covered, it can be covered in a quotation, you know, and you're sort of fair use, free to use quotations as long as you don't use too much. Yes, copyright issues. And then I also tried to have informative captions, pull quotes, always pull quotes, and as well as, of course, lots of photos and graphics, because I figured there were like 5 ways you could read a book. You could just look at the photos. You could also read the captions. You could read the pull quotes. You could read the interviews, and then the quotes in back. And then you could, they also had reference sections of recommended books and movies and whatever. So there's all these levels you can appreciate a book like this. So this is my definition of the kinds of books I like to do. There's literally at least 6 levels you can absorb the book on. And my favorite response is people coming up and saying, you know, I got almost every book you recommended in your book. Yes. So that's my 5 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, V. Lee Foster, who is the author of the book, The Photographer's Guide to San Francisco, and the app, San Fran Photography Guide, is the owner of Foster Travel Publishing. So, Lee, talk to us a little bit about your app, and we'll circle around and talk about the process of working with a designer. So just talk to us about your app and how that came about.
Okay. Good.
And are you on the iPad?
There's an iPad. Yes, all the apps can be seen, of course, on iPhones. Mm-hmm. But they can also be seen on the iPad. And you can see it in the little size, or you can click and double the size to see it on an iPad. So they do scale up. That's an interesting aspect of the technology. Well, we're all here because we have this dream to publish. And up until recently, of course, the dream could only be realized in a book. That was the format, kind of the ultimate format. But now an app or ebook is a new and highly viable format. And as you think of your publishing dream, you might consider whether going for a book or an app or both will be your what you desire. I have done 10 books, printed books. I have four of them here tonight. I'm in the travel book publishing world. And one of the books I did as an independent publisher. And three in my other 9 books are with traditional publishers as royalty authors. Then these last 2 books this past year, The Photographer's Guide to San Francisco and the parallel book that I have in Washington, D.C., I published them as books, but I also published them as apps on the iPhone. And this is a tremendously exciting new world to think about. I have a handout for you there that has an announcement about apps. And then it also has all the screenshots. If I were to give you a full hour-long presentation with a PowerPoint on apps. And then I also have in the back of the handout a little bit about how I generally publish, which is books, apps, and website things and so forth. So you would think of your publishing dream in the context of the spectrum of things that you might want to do. So that's my handout for you. And I'll just say that, let me just mention a couple things that are tremendously exciting about apps. I published the app on Washington, D.C., and 2 days later, 2 people in Ireland had bought it. I published the app on San Francisco, and in the next week, someone in Korea, in Japan, in Italy had bought it. These books, by contrast, will never sell outside of North America. It's a big physical product. It's very difficult to sell this big physical product, and it's $14.95. My apps are $1.99, and there's the impulse buyer anywhere in the world. So you begin to realize you have 6.8 billion potential customers out there if you think of the world population. So the excitement about the sale opportunity of apps, the excitement about the large percentage of royalty that an author gets in apps, and I'll go into that in detail if you want to later, are 2 very exciting things. And my final thought in my brief introduction is the final thing that's truly exciting to me about apps is the tremendous functionality of apps. In other words, the book is a static thing, but with the app, you could, see a little thing on a map and see something else you might want to see go to in a certain dynamic way. Or you could have a section in my app on San Francisco about a restaurant, and you could click right into the menu at the restaurant. And you could be down in the Mission District and think, I want to go up to the Golden Gate Bridge, and you click on where you are and where that is in the book, and it'll say it's, you're 4.2 miles away. So anyway, that's just a little teaser beginning on this dramatic new opportunity that you all have now to do a new kind of publishing dream, apps as well as books.
So the question becomes, how do you decide, what you want, and what are the concrete steps that an author or a new publisher, what do they need to know to produce a book? And I'm going to assume for the moment we can circle around to what is a book anyway. But in terms of, and I think, Joel, you had some things. You've got some concrete steps about printed books. And I think each of you will have something to contribute to this piece.
Yes. Well, The first thing that I usually talk to new self-publishers about is why they want to publish their book and what it is that they hope to achieve, because we can't really create a plan until we have some understanding of that. Some people don't want to sell their book at all, and other people think that, you know, within 2 months they'll be sitting on Oprah's couch. So it's really important in guiding people through the process to have some kind of realistic and achievable goals, because setting unachievable goals is a sure way to be disappointed. In any event, the beginning of the process starts with editing. And the chief criticism against books that people publish themselves is that they are poorly edited or not edited at all. And it's critical that you pay attention to your content before you move into the production of your book. But once you have and I recommend that anyone thinking about publishing should find or make friends with a very good editor. Perhaps very close friends. That might work. But, you know, we start with the content, and then we figure out where the book is going to be sold, how it's going to be sold, and that tells us how we're going to produce the book. We then start generating designs for the cover that appeal to the market and designs for the interior. We pay a special attention to the covers of the books, and this is a challenge for most self-publishers, because most self-publishers feel that their book is going to be an expression of their innermost creativity or, you know, their soul's journey or whatever the case may be. Now, if you don't intend to sell that book, then I would encourage you to do that. But if you want to sell this book to anybody else, you have to realize that covers of books are marketing decisions. They should be driven by how you intend to sell it, who you're going to sell it to, and where you're going to sell it. For instance, and I hope this isn't too detailed for this section of the talk, but many self-publishers rely almost 100% on selling their books online. For instance, on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and all the other online vendors. Well, right away, if that's the case, we know that there are very important restrictions you have to obey if you want to have a book cover that people can even read online. For instance, it's a very bad idea to use a white background on a book that you intend to sell on Amazon, because every one of Amazon's 5 million pages has a white background and your book will disappear. So simple things like that you need to take into account. And that's what I mean when I say we have to know where we're selling it and who we're selling it to. You'll also notice when you look at Amazon that your book is about that big. It's not that big. It's that big. So the problem is, what can you actually read on a postage stamp? Not much. You have to keep your cover very simple. You have to keep the title hopefully kind of short, and use a very simple graphic that stands out. If you somehow think that you're going to sell your book in bookstores, you know, that all changes. You want a book that people are going to want to pick up and look at and read and flip over and look at the back. And I have many clients who labor endlessly over the back cover of the book. And then I say to them, but you're only selling on Amazon. No one is ever going to see the back of the book until they already own it. So these are the kind of decisions that go into it. And I have to say, Paula introduced me as kind of a print guy. And I'm kind of the opposite of the punk era, because most of the books I design are fully informed by the 500-year history of printing and book typography. And I find that, you know, we've learned so much about reading long documents over the years that it really makes sense to make use of all of that innovation that went on over all those years and to use it today.
So Lee or V,
sure.
Talk about a little bit about process and what the people in the audience need to know, mm-hmm. if they want to go down your path.
Yes. Well, if you're going to do a print book like this, I think it's really helpful to get a designer, coach, person involved, because it's a complicated task. And some of us are part of a group called the Bay Area Independent Publishers Association. That's a viable group of people who are interested in doing their books. In that group, there are people, you know, such as Joel, who are print book coaches. And I found someone in the group, not Joel, but someone else, to work with on this book. Now, as for apps, the process to be, the place to begin is the Apple iTunes Store. You should set up a free account at the Apple iTunes Store, and you browse the App Store. And by browsing in the App Store, you look at all the different apps that are in your area of interest for your publishing dream. Maybe it's you have a business subject, or maybe you have a psychology subject, or whatever you're pursuing. You'll see all the people who all the apps in that category. So that'll be immensely instructive to you in terms of competing, what you're competing with and what's out there. You'll also see who is doing those apps. So you'll see the publishers, but more accurately, we should use the word developer, because the app world is a little raw, and the developer is the publisher often. It's a little less refined, shall we say, than the publishing world in print. Then, in my case, for example, I found Sutro Media in San Francisco here. They have they're the main publisher in travel now in the App Store. They have maybe 50 products out, including my two. And you hook up with the publisher developer, and in most cases, they will have a template that you work with that fits their software. So that's kind of the process of if you dream of an app, that would be the process to get you started.
I'd just like to add, V, before you talk, this advice about looking at what you want to do is really, really important. I can't tell you how many people haven't gone into bookstores and looked at books. I mean, really looked at a book, at the parts. It's not just page numbers, but headers, or what's in the front, or what's in the back, and what is your book going to be like? So this whole idea of if you want to do these kind of books, you know, look at the kind of book you want to do, because it will give you not only ideas, but it can also frame what you want, what you don't want, and it makes working with your ultimate designer or your software engineer, your developer, actually much easier. V, do you have any kind of concrete steps?
Actually, this might sound backward, but I wish you would tell me exactly what an app is.
Yeah.
As contrasted to a book, because a book, the way I do it, is like text primarily, usually, then photos, secondary priority, and then pull quotes, index, mm-hmm. you know, reference sections, whatever. But is the entire contents of my book in your app, let's say?
Well, an app, it is a slippery term. But an app is a new type of product, a little electronic product. And there are many different things that can go into it. But my travel apps, for example, you have maps in them, you have texts in them, you have photos in them, you have a global positioning awareness in them. And this is what is somewhat new in the publishing drama. Like your book and my book here, you can't go beyond the book into another website or something. You can with an app. All kinds of practical information could be kind of accessed in another way. It's a little, the terms are a little slippery. Some people will use e-books, which are like direct facsimiles of books. They'll use that term e-book and call it an app. So they're kind of ebook apps, and then there are app apps, shall we say. And app apps are those that use the new functionality that's possible in the product. And the imaginative possibilities are endless.
Does that help?
Well, actually, tell us all these possibilities. I want to know. I mean, okay, I can get it that if I have your app on my iPhone, let's say, or my iPad, you know, and I'm going to London,
yeah.
And you made a guide for London, yeah. then I can use the GPS function to find everything faster.
Yeah.
I can key in where I am and find it, and then I suppose I can just call up all this other info.
Well, for example,
clicking on a name.
People may want to buy your book. They'll never be able to buy your book outside of North America. I mean, it's hard to sell books. I mean, book sales are going down. But it's very hard to sell a physical object outside of North America. They can buy it. They could buy it anywhere if you had it as an app. And that's an exciting possibility. You might have an ebook app of your physical books. And you might sell it for $2.99 and make more than if you sold a book at $19.95.
So one of the statistics I heard, and of course it's probably going to be wrong tomorrow, but is that the people who are buying e-books, which is not necessarily an app, are also buying printed books. In other words, I've heard that 80% of people who buy e-books also buy the printed book. So isn't it possible that someone's going to buy both?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's a self-published thriller author named J.A. Conrath, who's also an active blogger. And he's actually documented that his ebook sales have really enhanced his print book sales. And not only that, he's gone farther because a lot of people worry about piracy with ebooks. Well, heck, why should I just make it a file? Every teenager will copy it, and it'll be all over the internet, and I'll be broke tomorrow. But Conrath has determined that the pirated books have increased the demand mm-hmm. for his books. Now, this is a guy who has sold 37,000 ebooks on the Kindle and has realized, and he's a guy who published with traditional publishers for years before he decided to go out on his own, that instead of making maybe $1.08 or $1.12 in royalties from Tor or one of these publishers, that he could actually make 100% selling his own ebooks, or he's getting a 70% royalty from the Kindle store when they redo their royalty rates. So, you know, this world of self-publishing is enormous, and there are so many ways to go at it, and there are so many avenues that you can go down. It can be a little dizzying. But, I mean, just as an example, I wanted to just say that right now, like, I am working on a book by a life coach about, you know, self-improvement. I'm working on a book that's being, and these are all self-published, every one of these, by a sociology professor about war. And this is a person who's published many books in the past, and she's decided to go her own way. I'm working on a book about a woman growing up with a genetic disorder in her family. I've got a book of photographs and poetry that's being printed in Asia right now by a woman who's a professional photographer. You know, the list goes on and on. I've got a memoir that a man wrote about growing up in South Africa. That's going to be a 600-page book, and it's actually really well written. But this is a kind of book that no publisher will publish. So each of these people, for their own reasons, has decided to take control of their content instead of giving it up. You know, the old paradigm is that we have to, like, get down on our knees and, like, pray to the gods of the agents and the editors that they will somehow find us worthy and accept us into their little fraternity. And then they will pay us the $1.07 a book, you know, the 8% royalty, whatever. And I think that paradigm is dying fast. And I think that people who are taking control of their own content and producing these books and finding a way to find their audience, that these people are having a heck of a time, and it's actually quite a bit of fun.
But on the other hand, I've met during my rather long lifespan a lot of people whose garages are filled with their self-published books. So how do you counter that?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I was a guy who had cartons of books at one time years ago. You know, but what's really made the difference now for most people is this digital printing, because now you don't have to print any books. You don't have to pay a penny. You can put your car back in your garage. Because once we create the book exists as a computer file, one file for the interior of the book and a separate file for the cover. We upload those files to our digital printer, and they reside on the digital printer's server. Now, when somebody goes to Amazon or goes to the local bookstore and orders your book, those files are sent to what is basically a fancy copying machine, and one book is printed because it's already been paid for. So in this scenario, every book that's sold is paid for before it's printed. Now, how sweet is that?
Well, does it work with my books, though? 8.5 by 11, hardback, full of illustrations?
Not yet.
That's what I thought.
And if you come back next week, we'll be talking about sales and marketing, so about how to get rid of those books or how to sell those books or how to develop your fan base. I know you touched briefly on cost, but can each of you kind of just respond about... I mean, I know costs can go from $0 to $100,000, right? But depending on what you're doing and how many copies you want and when you can't stop editing and you keep, you know. But what's realistic? I mean, is it realistic to tell this audience that they can have a professional quality book and actually spend no money until they buy the first book? Or is there some kind of range that we can say, or how much does it cost to do an app if I decide an app is what I want? But what if I want a printed book and an ebook and an app? I mean, what am I taking on here money-wise and or time-wise, which is the new money?
Well, I would say that this is one practical example. This is a book that I printed in Asia, 3,000 copies, $2.01 a copy, 37 cents to ship it over the ocean to Oakland. So that was, I had 3,000 units. I paid 6,000 for printing. I paid my coach. I did a lot of the work myself in terms of, well, of course, I wrote the book and photographed for the book. So I would set aside $15,000 to do... to do a decent book like this. Now, I know Joel has touched on the whole different paradigms of print-on-demand, which is, and there's so much to be said for all of these different models. But if you want a quality book at a very low price point that you can sell, you tend to have to maybe print 2,000 or 3,000 copies. But so the print-on-demand is another whole different model. That's my experience in books. So I would set aside some money if you're going to go into a book, and if you want to have a lot of copies. Apps, you have to find a developer. And the best plan is to find a developer who has put his energy into the engine and is looking for the content partners. So I put $0 into my apps with Sutro Media, because the pattern is that they had developed the engine. Now they wanted to find the content partners, and I was the content partner. And the economics of apps versus books is very different. I get 30% of the list for a $1.99 app, so I get 60 cents. In the traditional world of book publishing, I'll get about $1.18 for a $14.95 book done with Countryman Press Norton, a big, big publisher. So if I sell two apps at $1.99, I'll make more than if I sell one book at $14.95. So which do you think is going to be easier to sell? You know, two worldwide products at $1.99 or one limited to physical North America product at $14.95. Book sales have been going down. In my field of travel, book sales fell 13% in 2008.
Okay, now both V and Lee are doing books that are heavily illustrated, in this case with color photography, nice shiny coated paper, and these books have to be produced well. You could not do these economically with print on demand. But most of the books that I do are not heavily illustrated with color photographs. They're like a novel or a memoir or an instructional book. And they're just black and white. They might have some illustrations, you know, graphs or charts. So how much does it cost? And Paula set the parameter. She said, how much does it cost to get a professionally produced book? Okay, that's not going to be free, obviously, because it's going to take professionals to do that. And those are people who get paid to play. So it's going to cost for editing, and maybe a low-end figure for editing might be $500 to edit a book, and a high-end figure could be maybe $2,000 or $3,000, depending on the job. You're going to have your book professionally designed and typeset and laid out and all those nice files made up, and a low-end figure for that might be... I don't know, what do you say, Paula, $1,000?
Yeah.
And maybe depending on how complex it is, like if you have lots of formatting and different subheads and tables, it could go up to maybe $4,000 or $5,000. Now, at that point...
And if the client keeps wanting to make changes, it will be higher than that.
Yes. Well, we don't talk about those people because nobody here would do that, Paula.
No, that's true.
And so... when you get to the printing side, I'm talking about digital printing where we only print the books after they've been sold, so there's no cost there. It costs about $250 to set up your publishing company and establish an account with a digital printer. It's not very expensive. So that would give you an idea of what it might cost to actually get into print if you want a professionally printed book. If you think because perhaps you're the head of a church with 1,000 members and they're all going to do exactly what you tell them to do, you can skip the digital printers and go to the offset printers where you'll get a much better unit cost, but of course you'll have to front the money. And the typical black and white, you know, regular soft cover book might cost you maybe 200-page book, 6x9, is going to cost you about $2 to print. If you print, over 500 or 1,000 copies, maybe 1,000, I would say, would be the cutoff there. So that kind of gives you like a general ballpark. It's not free. It's not necessarily cheap, but it depends, as I said at the beginning, on what it is you intend to do. If you want, and I know people who have done this, you can create your own book. You can lay it out yourself in Microsoft Word. You can design your own cover on Lulu with their little cover designer thingy. And you can get a book for nothing. It's totally legitimate. Whether it will look the way you want it to look is another question. But, you know, you can do it. You can get into print. And I know people who are doing it right now to very good effect. And they have put the time in to figure out how to do that. So that's kind of a range you could work
with. So, V, do you have something to say? And then we're going to open it for questions as soon as you're...
Well, I'm glad that you spoke up, that it is possible to do a book for free in your own home. If you just take a little effort to learn, a pretty elementary aspect about Microsoft Word, and go to the template at Lulu and design your own cover. I mean, we did that for a friend of ours who was pre-computer, and he he paid us, you know, a couple thousand dollars to do his book, to lay it out. We used Quark Express. We haven't graduated to InDesign yet. But and then we had his book done on Lulu, and it cost him, it wasn't nothing. I mean, he wanted 50 copies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think it cost, and it was like a, I don't know, 126-page, some number like that, 128-page book, 6x9, with a very professional cover, which we produced. And I think he calls me, you know, every few months and says, I want another 50 copies. And I don't remember exactly how much Lulu charged, but it's like you have to front, I don't know, maybe $8 a book. It's some number that I just can't remember. But, I mean, so it's not exactly free, but that's close to free, kind of, as I can figure out.
So I think this is a good time to open the conversation to questions from you guys. So there is a microphone. Kevin in the back has a microphone.
Right, and I'd like to remind our audience listening at home that you are listening to the Commonwealth Club of California. Our program tonight is self-publishing, The Nuts and Bolts. And we're now going to turn it over for questions.
So raise your hands or, cool, there we go.
This is just a probably simple question, but for an app, does that mean only a how-to book or instructional kind of stuff, or is it also stories?
No, it could be a so-called e-book app, as I said. Children's books is a big category in the Apple App Store. So all kinds of books. It's just that the app does allow some functionality of software that a book doesn't. So that may be relevant or not to your own dreams.
I think we don't really know yet. I mean, I could imagine a literary walk, you know, or San Francisco has a very rich literary history, and it may be travel, but it also is, you know, where'd they go and where did Sam Spade do his thing and do any of those buildings look like they did then? So I think we really don't know. I think that a year from now we could have this same program and we would have completely different things to say about it. I mean, I really want an iPad, but I'm waiting because I don't think it knows what it's going to be, and I don't think we know what it's going to do. So I would just keep watching it.
So I'm a published author through traditional publishers and recently a self-published author as well. And I just happen to have an iPad with me because I got one for a book that I'm working on. From that perspective, just add a little bit of flavor to the description of apps. They're really all over the place. There are apps that are just one book. So there are Bible apps, you know, and it's just the Bible. There are apps that are just one line of publications. I have a Marvel Comics app on my iPad, and I have it there for demo purposes, of course, because I would never read anything like that in my own spare time. But there's Spidey on the front page. And it's a great format for comic books because it's so close to a real one.
Yeah,
that's right. The size and proportions are great for that. And then there are apps that you can use to access lots of different books that are more tailor-made to that app or not tailor-made to that app at all. And then, as you were saying up on the panel, there are things that people are working on now or just about to invent, which will have lots and lots of functionality. So there's really a huge range. But there are, like that Sutro Media lead that you gave all of us, there are people looking to do fairly quick and dirty book to app, you know, work to get stuff that's already in book form into app form with maybe a little bit of customization. So start where you are now, and then depending on whether you have developer skills yourself or can pay or somehow otherwise convince a developer to work with you, then the sky's the limit.
Thank you. Hi, I'm David, and my question has to do with I'm getting ready to publish my first book, and Amazon has a group called CreateSpace, and they'll help you and get you on Amazon. And but I understand there's other printers that will also cycle you over to Amazon, and they'll give you maybe more services or less cost or something like that. Two that I came across is Outskirts Press, Lightning Press. So I'm in that decision-making phase of who to go through. I want to have it on Amazon. And I thought originally, well, sir, just go straight to Amazon. But I'm now learning that maybe it's better to go through a third party and let them cycle it to Amazon. It has the same benefit. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, CreateSpace is owned by Amazon. They bought CreateSpace and BookSurge and merged them together. And if you go with CreateSpace, your book will get on Amazon right away. Mm-hmm. The Outskirts Press is more of a subsidy publisher, you know, what we used to call Vanity Press. And Lightning Source, which you also mentioned, is a division of Ingram, the world's largest book distributor. And if you publish with Lightning Source, they're looking more for publishers, people who have a publishing program. Many large publishers use them for their backlist books. And if you publish with them, you will also get on Amazon within hours. You will probably pay a little bit less, but you will be expected to actually know what you're doing. On CreateSpace, you're going to get a lot more help. There are also very active user forums, which I would encourage you to get involved in before you give your book to CreateSpace, because the people there are they're doing the same thing you're doing. They're just a little bit ahead of you. So that's the best way to get help, for people who just went through what you're about to go through. And I would encourage you to participate in all of those kind of forums and ask those questions there. But of the choices that you mentioned, CreateSpace would be a fine choice, and Lightning Source if you want to play with the big boys.
This really goes back to, Joel, what you were talking about before, which is, what is your goal? If your goal is to be on Amazon and that's all you care about, I'd probably choose CreateSpace. But if you want to be on Amazon and you want to be distributed to bookstores, I might not go that way. I might seriously consider Lightning Source, because Lightning Source, being owned by Ingram, you're in the Ingram catalog. They're not going to sell your book, but there's ways for bookstores to order your book easier, perhaps, than Amazon. Now, this is shifting landscape, because Amazon may say, or CreateSpace may say, I have a distribution program that you can buy, or Lulu will say they have a distribution program you can buy. So you've kind of got to figure out, going back to the beginning of, what is success to me? I mean, what really is winning? And then you can say, okay, so here are the four options, and then here's how I choose them. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, Lee, but
no,
go ahead and contribute.
I mean, these are all wise thoughts from the two of you. We're in an age of empowerment for the individual in publishing, which is so different from even 5 to 10 years ago. That any way that you do a credible book, you can get it on Amazon. But the challenge will be distribution of your book. This is going to be the biggest issue as time goes forward, as you move into your publishing dream. And one of the biggest aspects of distribution is you will have to create demand for your book. And you're going to have to create demand for your book, whether you do it independently or if you work with a traditional publisher. I mean, Norton Countryman is a big publisher, but it's still, the books don't sell if I don't create energy behind them. So distribution will be an issue, but a lot of things are happening that are empowering in terms of your access to distribution in the market. For example, on my website, I have one page on my website on the handout. I have on my website a fairly smooth and sophisticated selling mechanism. So that might be another aspect of your dream. You know, you're going to publish a book, but you want to have a website and you want to have a very smooth e-commerce thing on your website so that people can get an autographed copy from you of your book. If they're going to pay full list price, they might as well have get an autographed copy from the author. So that is, again, a tremendously empowering aspect of the modern scene. You can sell your book directly from your website.
Hello. Thank you for your talk. I have
Speak,
poems
yes, closer.
That I finally want to publish in a book. Can you think of any publishers that would publish poems? I hear that's quite difficult. Since I don't even have a computer yet, although I can use it, it's hard for me to understand, you know, how I could self-publish, but what do you recommend?
You need a friend.
Can you recommend a publisher? Look,
I would look at Poets and Writers Magazine, and I would look at several things. I would try and figure out what category my poems are in. I mean, you might write erotic poetry, you might write nature poems, you might write urban, whatever. I would look in something like Poets and Writers Magazine, which you can get online or in a bookstore. I would look at who publishes what kind of magazines, you know, Writer's Market. And then I would also look, because there's quite a few publishers who advertise that they would produce chapbooks or something like that in poetry. Poetry's hard. I mean, I agree with V. Poetry is no way to make a living, you know. But if it's your heart's desire, then you're going to find a way to do it. The other thing I would suggest is simply become part of the poetry community. And in that process, you're going to find people who will produce your book, people who will help you sell it, create the demand for it. You will become part of the community. Am I making sense or am I not answering your...
And Joel, didn't you say that you also dealt with self-published poets?
Yes, absolutely. I've done books for poets over the years. You know, it's not generally profitable unless you are somebody who performs regularly and you can sell them in the back of the room. And then it's a pretty good deal. But, yeah, I think what V said is right. You need to find somebody, whether it's a friend or you hire somebody or something, to get you into the digital world with your work, because that's where you're going to have to end up being, probably.
And just one quick thing. I don't understand that if you have a publisher that the author has to advertise or create a demand. I thought the publisher...
Yes. Well, many people think that, and... Unfortunately, it's not true.
Times have changed, really. Times have really changed. And now authors, I know a local publisher who does once in a while put out more LGBT audience poetry, and she, for which there is a niche market in this town. And she, in her contract, requires that, first of all, she doesn't pay a royalty. She pays in copies of the book. And she makes you sign a contract saying that at your own expense, you have to arrange your own speaking tour in bookstores in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle at your own expense.
The series, the event next Monday is all about sales and marketing. And one of the terms that gets thrown around is platform, that authors have to have their platform. And one of the things to remember is that certainly traditional publishers, and this is one of the big shifts, never really sold to book buyers. I mean, they sold to other businesses. They sold their books to Ingram or the bookstores. So they are in a time right now of great fear because the author, the relationship between the author and the reader is paramount. I've actually had editors at big publishing houses say they would rather publish a book where the author is a workshop leader or has their own built-in audience, is that church you were talking about, where they already have sales built in, than to produce or publish a good book where an author doesn't have that. So whether it's your 1,000 or 64,000 Twitter fans or whatever. They are all, I mean, you go to writers' conferences these days and it's all about platform, whether you're traditionally published or self-published. So I figure if they're not going to do the hard work, why not do the rest of it yourself?
You know, what do we need them for?
What do we need them? Distribution, maybe, in fiction, but...
Hello. I'm a photographer, and I have a book project in mind that is like a monogram or, 35 to 45 page or 45 image book, let's say, with, you know, very little text. And it's something that I would want to sell in conjunction with exhibits of my work, so I might have, a handful on hand at a gallery. It also would have content that I think might appeal to tourists and shoppers buying, you know, souvenirs or gifts. I'm curious if it's something that could be done equally well as a in the self-publishing model, as through a publisher with offset printing. I think Joel mentioned something about limitations with print quality in images. But sometime back, I did speak with a gentleman at a bookshop, a local bookshop, who gave an example of someone who did such a project very successfully, self-publishing it. He basically went around to a lot of local shops, and he had to do that regularly with, you know, handfuls of this book, and supposedly made several hundred thousand dollars over a couple of years doing it that way. Mm-mm. So it looks like the answer is no.
That sounds like fantasy to me.
Urban myth right there. That's
urban
myth. Urban myths.
First of all, you probably have a larger agenda, which is to become world-class international artist photographer. You might not. But let's pretend you do have that. You cannot. The first step is to put out a book. You would just not be known. You don't have any credibility without a book, and it has to be look good. You got to spend at least $10,000 for a color photography book in China, printed in China. You just have to do that if you want a serious career in the future as an artist going to real galleries. And yes, at every opening, you should sell your book and autograph it. But, you know, it's you have to believe in yourself and get the money together. And I don't know if there's any shortcut for that, unless you can think of an app way to do this.
No, I think you're onto a solid path. Because you are understanding that your photos in a gallery could be accompanied by this book that you would sell. So you understand that concept. And when you have done the book yourself, because you will do your gallery, you will do your photos, but when you've done the book yourself, like my Travels in an American Imagination, which is a literary book, and I sell that in a book show, you know, I sell it for $15. I've paid $2 for it. Okay. When I sell a book like this, Photographer's Guide to Washington, D.C. or San Francisco, myself, then I've bought it from Countryman Press at $7.50, 50% off, and I make $7.50. So the economics of doing your own book and promoting it in your own show is a very solid motivating economics. And I think the point here is that we all have communities that we live in, and we spread the word when we do a publishing dream. And your gallery shows are the word, but you would also have a website that is your art, and you would have your Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn followers that are interested in your art. And you would have highly specific places, say in San Francisco, that could sell your book. And so going independently is really makes sense if you're motivated, as it seems to me you are.
And to just put something out about money, there is a guy named Malcolm Margolin, who is a publisher of Heyday Books. Heyday Books publishes books about California history, and he's become a nonprofit press. And so he is looking for, he has developed a set of alliances with other people interested in California history, whether that's museums or art places. And sometimes he gets his projects funded in advance by these other groups. So in your case, as an artist, I would start to think creatively about who might fund your work, whether that's, sort of the old patriarch kind of something, but there may be a grant in this someplace. So I would think creative, if you don't have $10,000, which sounds to me like a lot of money, then think creatively about, is there an alliance you could build that does not offend you, like, oh, I'm selling out if I do X, Y, or Z, but there may be ways to find that money, not just completely out of your own pocket, even though that's probably where most of that will come from. Joel?
Yeah, also, you know, until you got to the walking it around to the gift stores, I had a pretty good idea for you, and that is that, you know, like I said at the beginning, these books perform different functions for different people. Now, I know people who are photographers, fine art photographers, and I know some of these people who print their books online digitally with a company called Blurb.com. Now, Blurb.com prints beautiful color books in full color, one at a time, digitally, binds them up. They're gorgeous. There's only one problem. The problem is that they're very expensive. So, for instance, I know a photographer who prints his books at Blurb, and he sells the book for $75. The book costs him $74. He makes $1 on every $75 book, and he is happy as a clam. And the reason he's happy is because he is not in the book business. He's in the business of selling photographic prints. His prints sell from $1,000 up. He doesn't care what the books cost. For him, that's a different kind of publishing. So when you were in the art gallery thing, I was thinking, yeah, this guy should go straight to Blurb.com and download their little bookmaking software, and you can make one book and prototype it and take it to the gallery and say, hey, this is the book that I can make, and I want to have a show here, and I want to sell these books. And, you know, you're in business, and you don't have to make it on the book if you can do that.
Yes, that's promotion. Yeah. You're using that book to give yourself credibility also, deep credibility. And the thing about a book is you'll probably have to make more than one copy, because to get shows internationally, you're going to have to send that book out and maybe eat the cost, or ask that it be returned to you, which is unlikely. So you have to balance it all out. It depends on how seriously you want to take your artist's career.
And just another little note on the economics of books. If you want to sell a book in Barnes & Noble's, say, and you want to sell it for $15, then you as a publisher have to manufacture it at maybe $3. Total. So think of five times your manufacturing cost as the break-even point for some profitability in a basic commercial book venture.
Or six times. That's my number.
Hey, we used to do eight times when I was back in New York. Yeah. Eight times. Yeah.
Eight
production
times.
Costs.
Yeah, eight
raw
times
production
better.
Costs.
Well, I mean, think of raw production plus overhead then.
You know, if you get a distributor, you're going to have to give your distributor 65 to 70% discount.
I have friends besides myself, and there's probably the biggest art book distributor in America that I know of, at least is DAP in New York, and their new deal is Well, we'll buy a small number from you. We'll give you 25% of the retail.
Okay. Kevin, do you want to... We have a couple more questions? Okay, cool. Anybody? Oh, surely somebody's got a question. There come some more hands. Okay. One there and then one up here.
Yeah, just getting back to the app question. If you use a lot of, especially with a travel book, I would imagine that you're going to be using links to existing websites. Are there copyright issues with this? Do you have to get some sort of written permissions, things of that nature? Like, for instance, linking to maybe a museum's website, a private museum, of course, something like that?
No, there isn't. The culture of the internet is such that you can link to anything without any problems. You cannot appropriate content from the site and put it on your site. But you will find that, you know, everyone you link to will be overjoyed because getting, you know, inbound links will be of great benefit to them. And similarly, when you do your publishing dream, if you have a website component, and a website itself can be the ultimate publishing dream, maybe not a book, not an app, maybe the website content, then you, once you have that aspect of a dream set up, then getting inbound links is the critical skill that you will want to develop. And potentially you will monetize that too. You might potentially monetize it. Like if you look at my website, a part of my income are the Google ad revenue that I get, is the Google ad revenue that I get. Because if 100 people come to look at my travel website, one will click on a Google ad, and I'll earn 25 cents.
So one of the things that you're talking about, so you have these links that are going to be in your app or on your website, then what you should do is send an email to those people telling them that you have linked to them, and you are starting then to build your community and build your platform. Is that making sense? Joel, you want to add to that?
I just wanted to say, I forgot to mention this in my intro, but I did bring a handout. I don't know if there are many left, but this is the self-publisher's quick guide to copyright. This is a very vital thing to understand if you're going to go into the publishing business, and this is a group of articles that I reprinted from my blog. And I would say to anyone here who has an interest in going farther with self-publishing, there's so many resources on the internet that are really good, and I'm going to give myself a pitch here, because I've been blogging about self-publishing, book design, independent publishing, and there are over almost 200 articles on my blog right now that you can read for nothing about all of these subjects we've been talking about. And you can get there by going to www.thebookdesigner.com. So come on over.
I think we have time for one more question.
Hi, Joel. I do have a question for you, and I did just hop on your blog, and it's very generous and filled with information. I thank you for that. I want you to clarify about the printing, the digital printing of a book. Are you talking about a paperback, perfect bound book, let's say about 200 pages? Can you get that done? And if so, can you tell me your resource for that?
Yes, I do these, every week I'm shipping them to printers. You can, if you go to Lightning Source, a 200-page book will cost you, I'm not going to do the math, but it's about $4 or $5. It'll be paperback with a full-color cover, printed very nicely, and 99% of the people who will pick that book up would not be able to tell that it was printed digitally and not on an offset press. The thing with the print-on-demand is that the prices go up as the page count goes up rather radically. You can also do case-bound books, hardcover books with jackets, case-wrap books. You can do spiral binding, YRO binding. They're all available from digital printers. But the typical book, the one I use for prototyping, is a 200-page perfect-bound paperback. And Well, I have a book at Lightning Source right now. It's 240 pages, and I believe the cost to the publisher is about $4.63.
And then do they publish it as well? Like
they are a printer.
Okay, so would you then take it to a place?
They are a printer slash distributor. So I am the publisher of that particular book. I'm also the author. And they are my printer, and they supply it. They put it in the Ingram feed. They put it on Amazon, and when the orders come in, they print them to order. They subtract the amount of money that they charge me for printing it, and they give me the rest. I have to do nothing. All I do is get a check.
Not even that. You can go right into your bank account.
Yes.
Thank you very, very much. I hope this has been helpful to you. Kevin, you want to do the close?
Okay, well, thank you very much, Paula Hendricks, and our other panelists are Lee Foster and Joel Friedlander and V. Vale. My name is Kevin O'Malley. I'm chairman of the Business Leadership Forum. You've been listening to Book Publishing, Self-Publishing, Part 2, The Nuts and Bolts. And with this, I'd like to close and thank our audience at home, thank our audience here at the Commonwealth Club. And with this, this session of the Commonwealth Club of California celebrating over 100 years of enlightened public discussion is closed.